Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Priscilla Huff. The United States and Russia have traded blows at the United Nations Security Council over how to police allegations of chemical weapons use in Syria. This comes as a possible sarin gas attack is reported in Sarakheb in northwestern Syria. Nick Harper reports from the United Nations headquarters in New York.
The spirit of disunity again plagued the UN Security Council meeting, this its latest on Syria. The US ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, accused Russia of shielding the Syrian government for its alleged use of chemical weapons. Her Russian counterpart, Vasily Nebenzia, however, said that Haley was artificially heating up the chemical weapons issue and accused the US of slandering Russia. Moscow has proposed a new investigation team, but the US says it would not be impartial and would instead see Russia cherry-picking investigators and whitewashing the findings. The meeting comes off the back of another suspected chemical weapons attack, this time in Idlib province, a rebel-held area in the northwest of the country. I'm Nick Harper in New York.
The Belgian trial of suspected Paris attacker Salah Abdeslam is underway in Brussels. Salah Abdeslam claims he cannot receive a fair trial due to anti-Muslim bias. From outside the court, our correspondent Jack Perrick reports.
28-year-old Salah Abdeslam is facing charges here in Brussels relating to a shootout that happened 4 days before his arrest in Brussels. Four police officers were injured in that incident, and he's charged with attempted murder in a terrorist context and could face up to 40 years in prison here in Belgium. He's being held in a French prison currently and being transferred to Brussels every day for this trial. He will face charges as well in France relating to the Paris attacks of November 2015.
The African National Congress is meeting with the fate of President Jacob Zuma under discussion. Our Africa correspondent Leon Solomon reports.
President Zuma said in a meeting with South Africa's top African National Congress officials that he will not be stepping down as head of state. The 75-year-old was last December replaced by Cyril Ramaphosa as leader of the ruling party, the ANC. Ramaphosa is in strong position to become the next president of South Africa and has been lobbying for Zuma's removal. An emergency meeting with the party's National Working Committee will be held later on Monday. Opposition parties also want Zuma to resign before his State of the Nation address to Parliament this week. Zuma's second term as president ends next year when South Africa heads into another presidential election. Leon Solomon reporting from Kampala, Uganda.
The Maldives declares a state of emergency amid a political crisis over the possible impeachment of President Abdullah Yameen. This is FSN.
Thanks, Priscilla. Thank you. Welcome to Monday's program. It's the 5th of February, 2018. Why? Why would you do that now? Welcome to it. Twitter is open to you now to comment. It's at Richie Allen Show, at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Good to be with you as always. Thanks for joining me.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Why would you even begin to say 2017 now? Anyway, let's get on with the program.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Right, I've been talking about it today on social media. The great Jordan Maxwell joins the program, returns to the program tonight. Can't wait to catch up with him. We spoke to him back in November, didn't we? Or was it early December? Great to have him back on the show. Brought to you in association with freestylehomes.com. Big thanks to Andy Hunter for doing that. So Jordan, there's some interesting questions already in for Jordan. One from David Stanford. David, how are you? I'm going to open my conversation with Jordan with your excellent question. So Jordan Maxwell joins me in about a half an hour's time. I've still not got email up and running. That's not the fault of my webmaster. It's probably my fault. I will sort it out in the next day or two, and then you can email me, so I'll do that as well. The 5th of February 2018, we are live on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in the great city of Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. And I do like to remind you that these days, the programme can be grabbed after it's finished from iTunes, from Podomatic.com. Podomatic.com is where it is archived. That is whom I do business with. It's on Podomatic. But you can get it from Spotify if you are a Spotify subscriber. And you can also get it from, as I just mentioned, iTunes as well. Before I go any further, I had a nice thing happen today. Difficult day today. Few things going on, show-wise and otherwise. But tough old day. But here we are. Thank God we're here. And we're on air. But I've been buying some vinyl. I've mentioned this once or twice since Christmas, and I've been using a website called Discogs. Now, if I was on commercial radio, I would be murdered for mentioning a commercial venture. But I have been using Discogs, and I found some amazing vinyl, some wonderful bits of vinyl from sellers all over the country, and I'm really happy with that. And I came across a Morrissey album that is one of my favourite albums of all time. It's called Vauxhall and I, and it came out in 1994. And last night I purchased it on Discogs. And today, my money was returned to me by the seller, a man called Jason, with a lovely note saying that he's a listener to the programme and that he found the programme last year, in the latter part of last year, and he has been listening. And in fact, recently, he did set up a monthly recurring donation. And that was completely unexpected, that he returned my money. I told him, you don't have to do that. You know, I don't expect that. But he said, no, I'm going to do that this time, this once, to say thanks for the programme. So that was a lovely thing today. So thank you, Jason. I'm sure I'll be purchasing several records from you over the coming 12 months or thereabouts. Let's have a look at what's making the news, the big stories of the day. Michel Barnier. Well, he's the man charged with leading the European Union negotiating team as they negotiate the UK's exit from the Union. He was at Downing Street today where he had lunch. I hope they gave him sausage, egg, beans and chips. And I hope it all came from... No, don't go down that road. But he was there anyway. And he said, and this is very interesting indeed, Barnier said that the United Kingdom will face unavoidable barriers to trade if it leaves the customs union and the single market. Now, overnight, the government, Theresa May's government, confirmed that the UK will be leaving the customs union and the single market, come what may. This is what Barnier said. Do you want to hear what Barnier said? Well, he said the time had come for the UK to choose what it wanted after its 2019 exit. Brexit Secretary David Davis said the UK's position was perfectly clear. Have a listen to what Barnier said. It's very brief, but, well, it's a fair old threat all the same.
We need also clarity about the UK proposals for the future partnership. The only thing I can say... Without a customs union and outside the single market, barriers to trade on goods and services are unavoidable. Time has come to make choice.
Unavoidable. Barriers to trade. Barriers to trade. If it leaves the customs union. David Davis is the Brexit secretary, or the, to give him his full and proper title, the secretary for leaving the European Union. Is that right? It might not be. I've been caught out. Anyway, have a listen to David Davis.
We have already published a great deal of information about our proposals in terms of what the customs arrangements will be, what the other arrangements will be with respect to being outside the Union. We've said in terms we want a comprehensive free trade agreement and with it a customs agreement. And to make that as frictionless as possible, to make as much trade that currently exists as free as possible, whilst still giving ourselves the opportunity to make free trade deals with the rest of the world, the fastest growing, where 90% of the rest of the growth will come.
Secretary of State for exiting the European Union. This is all very frustrating, isn't it? And I know it's frustrating for you as well. I know you're sitting there now. I can see you. In fact, I can sense you. I can almost smell you. Richie, please don't start. Don't go down this road again. Well, I'm going to. But I'll make it brief. I promise I'll make it brief. What's frustrating about this is, and you have to keep saying this, because it's not being said anywhere else in UK media, we've a massive trade deficit with the European Union. Depending on who you believe, it's somewhere between 60 and 80 billion pounds. They sell far more to the UK than the UK sells into Europe. So how many times have we said this? There will be no barriers and no tariffs. Can you imagine? I have to get my pronunciations right and proper here. Can you imagine Peugeot, Renault, Mercedes, BMW, the wine houses of Bordeaux, the wine houses of the Rhine, the fashion houses, the perfume makers? They would string Juncker and Barnier up by the balls, by the testiclay, to prevent them starting a tariff war with the UK, wouldn't they? In reality, leave all the bullshit to one side, all the lies, all the spin. These captains and stalwarts of European industry are not going to allow the European Union to put up barriers and tariffs on UK goods going into Europe. They're not. Because it would be committing suicide. You might as well cut off your own testiclay. Because you know one of the benefits of being entirely independent, one of the benefits of being a country that is entirely independent is that you get to do trade deals with other countries and, wait for it, say to those other countries, I'll tell you what their country be. If you let us sell into your country, we'll lower the tariffs for you. We'll reciprocate. At the moment, of course, the UK can't do that without getting the consent of every other member state, the other 26, which is a disaster. It's madness. Why would you ever sign up to that? Well, we know why we signed up to it. Edward Heath was blackmailed into signing the country up to this madness back in the day, of course, because he was being blackmailed because he was raping young boys, and many of those young boys were murdered. This is true. I'm going to leave it alone now. For tonight, I think, we'll leave it alone. I spoke about this yesterday on Sunday View. Women's Aid is one of the largest domestic violence charities in the United Kingdom. It oversees around 300 refuges for women. Now, it was announced through the Sunday Times yesterday that they're going to review the process of allowing trans women to work in their refuges based on self-identifying as a woman rather than requiring a change to their birth certificate. In fact, they're not just going to review it, they're going to do it. Trans women who basically self-identify as women will be able to work in Women's Aid refuges, in theory, right? Meaning that staff caring for victims of domestic violence or assault could identify as female but still physically resemble a male. There's been a lot of talk on this today, everywhere, in UK media, television, radio, and in print media as well. Let's have a listen to India Willoughby. Now, India Willoughby is a trans man and apparently a reality TV participant. I was told today that she is a newsreader as well. Now, she was on Good Morning Britain today, hosted by Susanna Reid and Piers Morgan. And India Willoughby, the trans man, I have to repeat that in case you didn't get that, had this to say about self-identifying trans women working in women only shelters. This is important. Have a listen to this.
The suggestion seems to be that a man, a sexually predatory man, would dress as a woman with the sole intention to gain access to a women's
refuge.
If
you were a predatory man, why wouldn't you actually try to do that?
But I think that's a preposterous suggestion.
Is it?
I can't.
We've already had male rapists identifying as women to try and get into female prisons. A, for an easier time, and B, because then they're surrounded by women. Yeah, it's happened.
Well, they identify as female in prison, but they are transgender prisoners. We're not suggesting that they're men.
My point is that there is a suspicion that there are actually predatory men, rapists and so on, who will abuse this very system now to identify as women.
I am sure...
So they can be around women.
Women's Aid, it's got lots of experts working for it. It's got a massive knowledge bank, and it will have those concerns as a priority, and I'm sure that they will not. If you turned up tomorrow, Piers, and decided that you were going to be called Patricia, Women's Aid would not allow you access to a women's refuge. They would want to see some consistency. They would want to see a history that you were transgender.
Okay.
It's not about that. It's not about that. I'll come back to it in a minute. It's not about that. Here's a little more of it. India Willoughby, the trans man, makes the point that trans folk make up 1% of the world's population. Now, this point was picked up by a woman called Karen Ingala Smith. She heads up the domestic violence charity NIA, N-I-A, and she picked up on the point that trans folk make up 1% of the population, and she comes back with a very salient point of her own. Have a listen.
We are 1% of the world's population. The actual percentage that will end up working in a women's refuge in this capacity will be minuscule. It's being blown out of all proportion, and it's just ginormous.
And I don't think the rights of that tiny proportion should override the safety needs
where's
for
the
women
evidence
moving into a refuge.
No, you're implying that transgender women are a threat in some way, and that's
I'm not sure that's what's being implied.
She's not implying that at all. And she's got it in a nutshell. Why should the rights of the minority trump the rights of women who don't want somebody who identifies as a woman but is quite clearly a man anywhere near them? You know, when I've spent a long time, obviously, in commercial media. And when you make magazine radio programmes, you get to know everybody. And I knew some women who ran rape crisis centres in Ireland. I knew them very well. And they would sometimes come on programmes that I produced and presented to talk about the challenges of running rape crisis centres. Now, I've not been in touch with any of those women today, but I am going to get in touch with them. What really cheeses me off is the idea that the fascism behind this, you know, somebody saying, well, somebody who identifies as a woman should be allowed into a refuge, should be allowed work there or apply for a job there or be considered for a job there, that they would think that their rights trump the rights of those women whom anybody who's ever spoken to anybody involved in rape crisis centres will tell you. The stories are unbelievably horrific. The things that these women are running from, the things, the monsters they're running from. And that is just out the window. My rights to identify as a woman and to work in these types of environments. And this is what really gets on my wick more than anything. It's not good enough for people now to say, well, look, as a trans man or a trans woman, I shouldn't be discriminated against. And I would agree with that. I've said this in an article on richieallen.co.uk today. I would agree with that. Nobody should be discriminated against, ridiculed, mocked, or prevented from applying for jobs. But not these jobs. Not these jobs. You know, that's not good enough. The fascists behind this, and it's not trans folk as far as I can see anyway, the fascists are not happy with what people say. They want to invade that space where people think. They want to almost criminalise your thoughts. So somebody like me, for example, I don't believe that somebody with a penis is a woman. And I don't say that for a cheap laugh. I don't. I will never believe that. I'm sorry. Nothing can change that. That's who I am. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not transphobic. I'm not frightened of anybody. I don't worry about stuff like that. You know, I'm quite happy to be in an environment where people identify as whatever the bloody hell they want to identify with. It's none of my business. It couldn't be any of my business. But I'm happy for you to identify as a woman, if you want to identify as a woman. I'm happy to live among people who believe whatever they want to believe, but don't start to enforce it and inflict it on people in this manner, because it is fascism. Women who've gone through the things that women have gone through that has led them to rape crisis centres, they don't need this sort of garbage. They just don't. So believe what you want to believe about yourself. Identify how, as, excuse me, identify as that which you want to identify with. And I genuinely will stand alongside you and say, look, people are entitled to live how they want to live, dress how they want to dress, believe what it is they want to believe. But when it gets to this stage and you're inflicting it on people like this, well, no, I'm sorry. You know, I talked in the article today about the language, the pronouns. There's another story of some 80-year-old professor at some university in America who's been hammered because of not using the pronouns that the snowflake, who identifies as God knows what, a giraffe maybe. You know, he won't use those pronouns, this professor, so he's in all sorts of bother. This is unacceptable. It's a tyranny. I'm not going to rant about it. I'm fed up of ranting about stuff in general. I'm not ranting about this. You know, it's madness. Why should the rights of the minority trump the rights of these women who want to be surrounded by women, who want to get their life back together and don't want to be around men in the worst time of their life? Why should somebody get, well, I am a woman. Why should those women be, why should those rape victims, those domestic violence victims, why should they be told, well, you can't think that she's not a woman? Well, I can. That's the wonderfulness of the diversity of thought and the diversity of experience. I do get to think how I want to think. And if you have a penis, I'm sorry, I don't believe you're a woman. They want to criminalise that. This is the madness of it. They want to identify me as some sort of bigot or some sort of hate monger. I'm not a bigot. I'm not a hate monger. I don't hate anybody. I really don't. I don't hate you. You do whatever you want to do. I'll have a beer with you. Swear to Jesus, I've no problems with it. We'll shoot the breeze about anything. But you're not going to tell me what I have to think about anything. I'll think how I want to think. We'll leave that one alone. Speaking of this type of madness, Naomi Campbell, pretty strong woman, I would say. She was on the same programme, Good Morning Britain, today, and she was sticking up for the F1 grid girls. You'll know by now that Formula One is the latest sporting organisation to say, well, we're going to stop using grid girls, good-looking young models, to hold up the numbers as the drivers come out from the garages and take their place on the grid. There are women there with the numbers. Right? I'm not a big Formula One fan, but I've seen it before. It was announced today that children, presumably go-kart racers, budding drivers, children will replace the F1 grid girls who hold the numbers on the grid. Naomi Campbell was asked about this and the darts and all the rest of it. This is what she had to say today.
Should there be banned grid girls? I mean, isn't it just glamour?
Listen, they're holding up the numbers so that the drivers can all get in place. I've been to so many races, I've never been put off by it.
Do you find it offensive or not?
I have never found it offensive. And I've walked on that grid many times.
See, here's where I think people are confused about what feminism means, because it's a lot of radical feminists saying this has to be banned. They wanted page three girls banned. They wanted girls banned. The girls that all do that kind of
like
thing,
for me,
I really enjoy it.
It's like they're representing their country. Like, you've got it in Bahrain, you've got it in London, in England, at Silverstone, you've got it at Monaco. They're there proud to be representing their country in whatever way they can and to do with a sport. It's been that way for years. It's
and they're
always
exercising
been that way.
Their rights as feminists. This is women.
It's their
to
way.
To use their bodies how they like.
Yes, I have never found it offensive.
So they should get
personally.
Their jobs back.
Have they been fired?
Yeah, well, they're banning them, yeah.
No.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they're banning them.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's not nice.
It's not right, right?
No.
No, it isn't right. It's ridiculous. Do you know, I can't find a woman, whether it's women I know personally, I don't know that many women, but women I know personally, women I know through the programme, I can't find a woman who thinks it's a good idea. to ban the walk-on girls and ban the Formula One girls. It's crazy. Jordan Maxwell joins the programme shortly. Before that, though, let me have a quick look at another story, which is interesting. Facebook's new Messenger Kids app is getting criticised from all quarters. It really is. It's being accused of being potentially harmful for young children. Now, the messaging platform, which is aimed at children between 4 and 12 years old, launched in December, just in time for Christmas. So it's a messaging app for young children. Now, Jennifer Shapka is a development psychologist at the University of British Columbia, and she said she's very worried about the effect of the app on children's physical and emotional health. She said to CBC's The Early Edition, "It's kind of beyond me why we'd endorse yet another way that encourages children to sit behind a screen. Canadians apparently spent 24 and a half hours online per week last year." Wow. A survey from Media Technology Monitor found. RT is following the story. Have a listen to this. The Facebook message app for kids between 4 and 12. It's being hammered, really, by child experts as being very harmful for children. Well, we know it is. This is RT.
Facebook has been urged to pull the plug on a so-called safe chat app for children. Organisations have warned the social media giant that the app called Messenger Kids poses health and safety risks. Here's a quick look at its promotional video.
It's a video chat and messaging app for families and kids, and it's designed to give parents more control when their kids start to communicate online.
The app is designed for children aged between 6 and 12. Parents or guardians can control the settings from their own Facebook accounts and approve and monitor contacts. Messenger Kids functions include sending texts, photos, and using video chat. Facebook's vice president defended the platform, saying it is a great way for families to connect.
Families will be better off because it exists. My daughter uses it on a daily basis now. It has enabled me to be more in touch with her.
Those were the words of David Marcus, who's Facebook's vice president for messaging products. It's not going to bring families together, of course. It's going to do the opposite. She said between 6 and 12, but in fact, she made a mistake. It's aimed at children between 4 and 12. They want them on a messaging app all the time, messaging people, when they could be speaking to them face to face, when they could be playing games with them. Be playing skipping games, they could be playing hide and go seek games, they could be playing sporting games, they could be talking to one another, board games. No, they want them on the phones, of course. Madness to listen to the words of Marcus saying that it's going to bring me and my child closer together. No, it ain't. It ain't. It ain't meant to do that at all. 27 and a half minutes past the hour. It's Monday's Richie Allen Show, live on richieallen.co.uk, fabradiointernational.com, and, of course, triggerwarning.tv. In a couple of minutes' time, the great Jordan Maxwell joins me live. He's just signed in there. He's just stepped into the cyber room that we have, ironically, after what I just said. Jordan, of course, is in Boulder, Colorado these days. He'll be with me in a couple of minutes. Tweet at Richie Allen Show. We've already had a couple of very interesting comments and questions for Jordan, which helps me out no end. Back in a minute.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today. Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Indeed it is. Jordan is in the room. He'll be with me in about 2 minutes' time. It's Monday's Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2, and triggerwarning.tv. Here's the Mavericks. Mavericks are in town next Saturday night at the O2 Apollo in Manchester, and I'll be there. I'm looking forward to seeing them. The Mavericks on the Richie Allen Show, exactly 28 minutes to the top of the hour. I won't waste time giving a long-winded introduction to our guest today. He's a staple, a feature on this programme. He's been writing about the reality behind the facade, the occult, and much more besides for over 50 years. Preeminent scholar, the man is. He's an outstanding writer, an outstanding speaker. Came across him on the radio in Spain nearly 10 years ago, and was thrilled to have met him then. These days, of course, he's in Boulder, Colorado. He told us that at the tail end of last year. You can find him online at jordanmaxwellshow.com. That's important to remember, jordanmaxwellshow.com. Huge interest when he's on, and a big shout out to freestylehomes.com. That's freestylehomes.com. Do check them out online, and Andy for sponsoring this particular show. Welcome back, Jordan Maxwell. Welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Well, fine, Richie. Always happy to be on the show with you. I always love our time together, and always happy to be with you. And
it's great to have you on. The first time we spoke, when you came on my show in Spain all those years ago, I was a little bit worried about having you on, and it wasn't so much that I was intimidated by you and the fact that so many people were joining the program from around the world. Because that's the thing about speaking to people like you. You bring an audience with you. It wasn't so much that. It was more that I was thinking, I'm not going to understand any of this. I remember thinking that. And I'm not going to have any input. Not that it's not my job to be saying very much as a presenter. I'm just supposed to ask a question. But you were amazing at the time. It was an amazing two-hour show. And, well, the rest is history. Before we get straight into some wonderful questions from our listeners, which I think you'll be glad to hear some of the questions that have come in. Yeah. How's it going in Boulder? Because it's still not long since you moved over from California. How's life in the new year?
It's not long at all. As a matter of fact, I got here a couple of days before Christmas, and I stayed in a hotel. The company put me in a hotel, very nice, I mean, top of the line, beautiful hotel, here in Boulder, until the company could find me an apartment. And they ultimately found me a beautiful apartment. But I just got moved in about the last part of the first week of January. So really, I've only been here about a month now. And it's taken me about a month to get settled. You know, once you find a place, then you've got to get all the all the things you need for the house and then get settled. But I'm finally there. I'm finally settled, and I've got a very nice apartment. It's only about 5 blocks from the office of Gaia's office. And so I have a lot of the people there in the office coming to visit me, because happily they have considered me, and they have let me stay home and work from my house, because I work better on my own and by myself. And so I don't have to go into the office. I mean, I go every now and then, and they come over to see me all the time. But I just live here and quietly by myself and work here every day. And the weather here is very nice, because Denver, you know, gets a lot of snow, and the Rockies are nothing but snow. But here in Boulder, we're kind of locked off from the bad weather west of us by the mountain range. And so we get snow here too, but it's usually very, very light. Sometimes it's so light you didn't even know it snowed. It was so light. And yet it's beautiful here. It's very quiet, very peaceful. And it's kind of like a little village of art people. It's very artsy here, museums and very interesting people, and bookstores everywhere. And so I really like working with Gaia, because they are incredibly nice people, but very forward-looking people. What Gaia is quite simply what I have wanted to do all of my life, is what Gaia is doing. I have always wanted to have a company whereby I could bring together all of the top people in the world that are doing something for humanity that are very legitimate. It's people who are really doing something of profound importance to educate, to teach, to enlighten their fellow man, and bring it all together under one roof and produce all of the materials for all the great people out there that are doing great research. And so that's what I've always tried to do. When I was working with the Truth Seeker Company, I brought in all kinds of writers and artists and people that I felt were doing incredibly important things. But that didn't work out, because the people who were running the company had no vision of anything but making money and ripping people off. But Gaia has already proven what they're doing. They have like over 8,000 documentaries from all over the world, from the best people out there. And you know, it's just a few bucks for a quarter of a year. And you get to see any and all the thousands and thousands of documentaries by all the top researchers and writers in the world.
And they are putting out. They are putting out.
Being here,
it's brilliant. And they are putting out some cutting edge stuff, aren't they? It isn't.
Oh yeah.
It's not mainstream light, because one of the concerns with organizations when they say, "Well, we're going to do alternative content," one of the concerns is that it'll be mainstream light. But in the case of Gaia, particularly obviously working with you, it isn't. It's very cutting edge, challenging stuff they're putting out there to people. It's brilliant. It sounds idyllic. We spoke about it briefly before Christmas, but it sounds like it's the absolute right place for you to be at this moment in time.
Oh, it is. It is. Because, like I said, this is what I've always envisioned, what I wanted to do. But I never had $2 to put together to do anything, but now I am, at least now I'm part of an organization that is very, very well controlled, very well run, that the best of the best is being put out there. And I like the idea that everything they do is very highly professional.
This is important. You're making a very important point here. As somebody who's worked in commercial radio for many years, I implicitly understand the need to present this information professionally. The standards have to meet the standards of the mainstream media. It's very important. It's got to be glossy, and it's got to be all singing and dancing, because we're trying to get the information that has been gleaned by men like you and others. We're trying to get that to people who think that you're a bunch of quacks.
That's right.
And to do that, it's got to be professional, right?
It absolutely has to, because when it is presented, and the thing I like about this company is they present fascinating, great stuff. I mean, I love listening to all the authors that you know about, all the famous people that you've interviewed and know about their work. Well, they're doing their work here in videos with Gaia. And so I like the idea of the top of the line people. I mean, the best of the best that's out there. And there's one place you go to for all of it. And like I said, I think there's over 8,000 videos now they have out there. They're all about half an hour to an hour a piece, but I just enjoy being around people who are creative, intelligent, and who are striving to do what I've always tried to do, and that is educate my fellow man.
And the motivation is that. The motivation is to do something decent. Obviously, everybody has to eat, of course, but if the motivation from the get-go is good... But you're right.
No doubt about it.
And you know, you're right about the production. I mean, the production values, to me, they're as good as National Geographic. And once you've got that, you've got everything. Folks, Jordan Maxwell's website is jordanmaxwellshow.com. We had some interesting questions come in for you today, my friend. Jordan appears on this. He would appear on this program anyway, Jordan, but he appears courtesy of freestylehomes.com. And Andy, and we're really glad for that. David Stanford wants to thank you for a lifetime of dedication to bringing information and truth to your fellow man. Here's a very good question David asks. He says, Richie, is there any occultism in this? The iPhone, which is the Apple mobile phone, the cell phone, the price of it is $999. And back in the day, their first Mac computer was $666. Is that coincidental, or is that obvious occultism, asks David. That's a good question to kick off with.
Oh, that's a very good question. It was how much? $666?
Yeah, the very first iMac went on sale for $666. And the most recent iPhone is $999. You don't have to be a genius to switch it upside down.
No, turn it upside down. You still got $666.
Go ahead. What do you think?
Well, I am totally sure that's true. There's no doubt in my mind about that, because the guys who run this planet at the top, there is a modus operandi. There's a method of operation on the Earth, And if you're going to be in the spin of human activity on the earth, if you're going to be a player in the world scheme of commerce and business and going to be a success, then you are not going to set the pace for anyone. The pace has already been set thousands of years ago. And so you are going to have to figure it out, how it works, and what the terms mean, what the words mean, and get with your lawyers and sit down with the right people and figure out how commerce works, how does business work. And then you begin to see the outline of a whole protocol of how to set your company up, what words to use, et cetera, to be a success. And so when I see things like that, with an iPhone, first of all, costing that much, and then having it 666, that's overwhelming in your face. And then 999, which is upside down, is still 666. And then understanding the whole concept of the I, like on the dollar bill, the I on the dollar bill, which is the iPhone, which also is provocative as far as I'm concerned, because the iPhone represents, the first time I heard it, the me generation. Everything's me. I'm important. It's me. It's my phone. It's the iPhone. And then you find out, no, the I on the dollar bill has become very important because it represents the sun god of Egypt. And it's the all-seeing eye of the Illuminati, etc. And so it's the iPhone. It's the phone that's watching you. It's keeping its eye on you. And so I understand that the dark crevices of commerce and banking and international intrigue and how the world really works. And I'm just amazed at how many people don't see the obvious.
These numbers,
definite connection.
Those numbers, Jordan, 666 and 999 and the I and those pictures. I know this is ground that we've kind of covered before, but it's important to revise it because we've got new listeners tuning in all the time. And I know our longer term listeners don't mind hearing this again because it's important. These numbers and these images, they are powerful because they are energetic, right? They are energetic and they are having an effect on the energy of those people who come into contact with them.
No doubt about it. And when you understand that English is a designer language. I came across this a long time ago, that English was designed purposely. The people who put English together a long, long time ago realized what they were doing was they were designing a language which would put the speaker in a particular state of mind that would have you view life and reality in a certain way in order to understand English. And so today we have an entire world now that has one state of mind, and everyone understands how the world works, that for you to get along in it and for you to communicate with your fellow man, we call it English. And it's a very interesting subject about languages and terms that we use. And I've been saying that for years. I mean, I go back to 1960 talking about the use of words and terms that we don't understand, but we use it all the time. And so I think that there is a world of knowledge that's been hidden from us on words and terms. And as a matter of fact, the government even has, if you go to a law office, to a law library, there is a big set of books in the law libraries in America. It's called Words and Phrases. Words and Phrases is a set of encyclopedia in the law libraries. And they're fascinating because all the terms that are used in law, all the terms that lawyers will use among themselves. You look in the reference book on words and phrases, and it tells you what they're really saying, not what you thought that meant, because so much of what they say is English. You understand basically what was being said until you read words and phrases, and then you find out you don't understand any of it, because it's called legalese, not business, not commerce. It's called legalese, meaning it's the terms that are used by lawyers and international authorities among themselves. And if you're not a lawyer, if you're not a politician, then you're not going to know what they are really talking about. And something I told you before, this applies also to the everyday family in the world, because your children have a lingo that they speak among themselves that we older don't understand, but we did it when we were young. We had terms that we all knew as kids, what we all meant as kids, but we knew that our parents didn't know what the terms were.
True.
And so it's like doctors and lawyers and politicians and all kinds of people in different professions. They have their own lingo, they have their own language. And if you're not part of that, then you're never going to figure out what they're talking about. And so, unfortunately, that's what the masters of the human race, the people who believe that they own the human family, they talk among themselves internationally. But if you don't know what they're talking about, you think you understand, but you don't. So that's a very interesting set of books called Words and Phrases.
And we were talking last year after one of the terrorist attacks in the UK, the one in Manchester, which happened on the 22nd of May, and 22 people were killed. And we were talking again about the symbolism employed in that, and how, yep, on one level, this is a certain group of people communicating with one another. Do you know, my friend and colleague, Jean-Anne Crowley, who's in Dublin this evening, Jean-Anne said, Richie, the Dow Jones Index dropped by 666 points last week. And I didn't doubt Jean-Anne, but she sent me the news article to confirm that, the New York Daily News article. There you go. Again, that number 666 popping up, Amazing. Staying on this theme, Argyle tweets that a Hebrew word for God is El. Now, Jordan has spoken about this on the program before. Jordan says the English word God really means dog in reverse, which is an inversion. Could you ask Jordan the origin of the English word God? And you know what? Every time you come on with me, because you're as well known in researching the occult as you are, I always get an email or in this case a tweet from somebody to ask me about whether you believe in a divine creator. Now, you can get onto that if you want or not.
Yes, I think I'd like to talk about that, because in point of fact, I have the highest of regard for a divine creator, a divine presence in the universe. I call it, instead of God, I call it a spiritual overshadowing. A spiritual overshadowing of the human life on the earth, our life on life period, life of anything that's alive, from grass to trees, to worms to people, life, and it has to have some kind of a beginning, and then when you look at the human, I find it just incredible that supposedly intelligent adults, grown-ups will look at the divinely brilliant design of a human being, the nervous system, the all the different systems that go into producing a man or woman or child, and believe that that all just happened by chance thousands of years ago out of the slime and mud. Came some little amoeba, and then it multiplied, and then one day it became a beautiful, handsome man or woman today. It's so ludicrous, it's outrageous to think that something like that could happen. And yet, we have people with PhDs and doctorates who believe that things just happen, and they will go and buy a $3,000 computer and believe it just happened by chance to be there, and I just happened to be walking by and saw it, and who knows how it got there, but I just like it, so I'll buy it. Never ever thinking, no, somebody made what you see. And the same thing goes for people to understand politics and religion and government. Nothing happens on this earth by chance, period. The people who are in power in this world have a whole system of communication, symbolism, encoded messages, and it's just extraordinary how much people don't obviously see what's in front of them. And that, like the Bible has Jesus saying, many will look with their eyes but not see, and listen with their ears, but not hear. And with their heart, they don't get the sense of it. And that's precisely the case today on the earth today. People looking at the world, they have no idea in the world how it works. And they're listening all the time to the politicians, and they're listening to all the different people, but nobody seems to hear what's really going on, and they don't see it. And the reason why is because with their heart, they don't get the sense of it. So
is there,
when you think spiritually, you begin to see things you've never seen before.
So is there a benevolent and a malevolent? Does everything have to have an opposite? So if there is some conscious thing, some all-knowing energy that's always been there, that has had some hand in creating the reality that we see, does it stand to reason? Do we have to accept that there is some malevolent energy, some darkness, and the agents of darkness, you're describing them there, the people responsible for the blood sacrifices that we talked about over the years, the murders, the senseless killing of, millions of people a year, are they answering to or influenced by some dark energy, dark consciousness?
Without a doubt in my mind, there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever, because the outward workings of the world, once you understand how it works, how the entire world works, there's no doubt in my mind that there has to be some kind of a higher intellect to put the world together, because with all of the billions of people on the earth, and each one of those people, each one of those persons has their own personality, their own likes and dislikes. And so in order to keep 7.5 to 8 billion people on the earth operating from day to day, and with all of their different ideas and belief systems and wars and violence and drugs, but to make it all work every day, just like clockwork, every day the world wakes up and goes to job and goes to work, but with all of the incredible pressures on the earth, among peoples of nations and people of different backgrounds, etc., it's obvious that somewhere, somehow, there is a higher power on the earth or operating on the earth that's unseen by us. And of course, all the religions of the world talk about the same thing. All the religions of the world talk about the fact that there is some kind of an overshadowing power on the earth that drives the human destiny. And there are people who can see the future and people who are very wise and begin to see how things work, like David Icke. That was one of the things that drew me to David, is the fact that when I first heard him back in the early 90s, that his thinking was so overwhelmingly obvious. If you look at the situation he's talking about, and if you have any brains at all, you'll see it yourself. But there is an old saying in the States that there are none so blind as those who choose not to see.
Who choose not to see. Now, David, I've obviously spent many, many hours speaking with David. We're into the realm now. And, of course, it's been the basis for much of his writings over the years, where some malevolent energy, be they archons or...
Yep. Yeah.
They've what this is as wonderfully complex. I mean, you described beautifully the complex makeup of us as beings, plant life, the world. As amazing as all that is, it still could be some prison construct by that which wants us to never realize what we really are and where we really came from. And you go along with that.
I think there's something to that. My gut feeling is you're probably right. You're probably right on that. I've got something for you. Something we hear a lot about but don't know anything about, and that is the kingdom of God. I mean, when I was growing up, I used to go to all kinds of churches and hang out at all different kinds of social arrangements, especially in churches, so I could learn something about the world I live in. Well, as it turns out, I finally ended up in my late teens, after going to all the different churches I could with all of my friends from school. Everybody had a church, and so I would go to church with everyone. But what I was looking for is intellectual understanding. And that was something that is totally, totally void in churches, in religion, period. There is no intellectual understanding of anything. There is only a faith. You have faith in this or have faith in that. And when you come into a new church, they will ask you, how long have you been a believer? Are you a believer?
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I always tell people, no, I don't believe anything. I'm like the CIA and the FBI. I want to know. I want the proof. I want to know. I got intellectual questions that I'm asking somebody to answer. And so all these years of going to different churches, no one has ever intellectually satisfied anything in my mind. Nothing. Now, let me give you an example of how misunderstood words are in religion. In Christianity, as in many other religions, there is a word called faith, and that you are supposed to have faith in God or faith in whatever it is you're supposed to be believing. But the word faith in Christianity is totally misapplied. The original Greek word does not mean what Christianity says it does today. Christianity today, in Christianity, the word faith basically means to hope. You hope that something will happen, and you're praying and talking to God and praying that something will happen. And so you have to have faith. Well, of course you have to have faith, because unless it happens, it ain't going to happen. So you just sit and wait and see if it's going to happen. So what you're doing is you are hoping that something is going to happen, but you don't know for sure.
No, you don't. But I'm going to jump right in there, and you and I are going to have a disagreement, which doesn't happen very often.
Well,
we're not going to have a disagreement. You
know, maybe we will agree.
We won't. You know what? It won't be a disagreement. But this is fascinating now, because you will know. And by the way, it's amazing to hear you talking about in your teens that thirst for knowledge, going to the churches and the various denominations and listening and trying to get understanding. I think it's amazing. We could talk about that. We'll do a show someday. We'll do a kind of a This Is Your Life show where we'll talk about your life, because that fascinates our listeners. Now, I agree with you. I've got an issue with faith as well, people waiting around for something to happen. There is an interesting phenomenon, though. A number of universities over the years did studies where they asked people to pray for somebody who was sick, and specifically not to pray for patient B or patient C. Mm-hmm. There is some sort of energy, some sort of positive goodness being created when people pray together for something that isn't selfish, something that isn't narcissistic. You know, I could go to bed tonight and I could pray for Jordan. Dear God, you know, Jordan is in this new city and he's on his own there. He's trying to do some good work. Give him the best, God. Look after him. And maybe a lot of other people might do that as well. And something definitely occurs when we do that. Back to you.
Well, I totally agree with you. Totally, yes. And I understand what you're saying.
Even if we're wrong, because God doesn't exist. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say I totally agree with you because I've seen it in my own life. But, you know, I don't know what else to say because there's no doubt in my mind you're right. What I'm aiming at and what I was going to say is that too many times people who are going to church pray about something, like you said, if it's not personal, if it's Brilliant. Something for the good of all mankind, for the good of people, that's different. That's a whole different idea because now you're putting the spiritual part of yourself with the spiritual part of the whole human race and wanting something good to happen. And so I'm sure that has a very powerful effect in the spirit world. But what I was going to say is that when you talk about faith in Christianity, they're talking about hoping about something. But what the word faith actually means in the original understanding was the best way I can explain it is if when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is get up in the morning, but you didn't look to see if there was a floor. You just jumped up out of bed and didn't look to see
That's right.
if there was broken glass on the floor or nails and tacks or there was a hole in the floor. You didn't even look to see if there was a floor. And why did you just jump up and didn't even look to see where you're jumping up to or jumping up on? Well, you didn't look at the floor and you didn't care about the floor. It's not important. Why? Because it's always there. Period. It's always there. It always has been. So you don't have to sit and worry each morning if the floor is going to be there. Obviously it is. And so you're just wasting your time. Well, that's what faith means. To get up in the morning and go whatever and do whatever you're going to do and let the Spirit know your attitude toward life, that what you're doing, you want to do something to help your fellow man. You have some sort of a higher moral goal or something that you want to accomplish with your life. But faith implies just get up and go.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it because for the idea being is the floor has always been there. The floor will be there when you are gone. The floor will still be there. The same thing is true in faith. God has always been there. And whatever that divine principle and that divine force in the universe, it has always been here for as many millions or billions of years before the earth was here. And it will be here after the earth is gone because that divine presence is always here. And it's not stupid. It sees you and it knows what you are doing. And it gives to each man, as the scripture says, whatever is coming to him, you work hard, you do good, it comes back to you. If you do go the other way, it's going to come back to you. So the idea of faith is just get up and do what you're going to do and have a positive mind. And whatever God decides to do, then that's what he decided to do. And it ain't got, and like one teacher said to me, if God's going to do something, you can't stop it. And if it's not going to do it, you can't make it. So since you can't, you don't really have any control over the divine destiny of the universe, then why don't you just mind your own business and do what you want to do and keep a positive attitude. And if the universe is favorable toward what you want to do, or if God is favorable, so to speak, then it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's not supposed to. And so that's the way I view my life today. Whatever it is I'm supposed to do, I guess I will end up doing it. And if I'm not supposed to do it, then I guess I won't end up doing it. And I feel the same way about my audience, people who are hearing me. My feeling is that if someone is supposed to hear me, they will. And if somebody is not supposed to hear me, they won't. So I don't care. It's not, I don't care who hears me or who doesn't hear me. It's none of my business. I just do what I'm supposed to do, like any other person who's given a job to do. I just do what I do. And if someone's supposed to hear me, they will.
They will.
If they're not, they won't.
It's like going with the flow, isn't it? It's like, it's an energetic thing. It's like going with the flow. We're going to pause for a very quick break. When we come back, there's an excellent program about the Super Bowl. Now, don't panic there, Maxwell. We're not going to ask you about tactics. We're not going to ask you about tactics there and what a wide receiver means and what a running back means. You probably know all that anyway. We're not going to get into that. But obviously, the Super Bowl was on last night, the largest single-day sporting event on the planet. More than a billion people watched it around the world. And Mark is asking about it and symbolism and how it might be used. It's a very good question. JordanMaxwellShow.com is Jordan's website. He's in Boulder, Colorado. He's working with the Gaia people who are putting out a lot of very, very, very good information with very talented content creators. Jordan, there's about 3 minutes if you want to grab a quick coffee there or if you want to grab some water. Quick 3 minute break. When we come back, more from Jordan Maxwell himself. 10 minutes past the hour this Monday, 5th of February 2018. Great to be with you. It's your Richie Allen Show, back in 3 minutes.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markmajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalize, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Complete your 100% online course at www.creativeimaginings.com.au.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv.
Welcome back. Europe's most listened to independent radio show. That's a fact. It's not an idle boast. It's the Richie Allen Show. And it's great to be with you. 13 minutes past the hour. You can pick the program up now on iTunes, on Spotify.com. It's archived at Podomatic and it's live every weeknight, well, Monday to Thursday anyway, on richieallen.co.uk. We're on TuneIn Radio, triggerwarning.tv, and of course Fab Radio 2 in the great city of Manchester. Jordan is live from Boulder, Colorado this Monday. It's great to have him back on. We love having him on. Big shout to freestylehomes.com. Check out freestylehomes.com. homes.com and Andy for sponsoring this segment. Terrific that they do that. And Jordan's website, jordanmaxwellshow.com. Jordan, it's always brilliant, mate, having you on. You know that. We love having you. Look forward to this. We had the Super Bowl yesterday. By all accounts, it was one of the most exciting Super Bowls in history. I'm not the biggest fan of gridiron, so I don't know too much about it, really. But Mark Morrison asked a very interesting question. He said, Richie, I'd like to get Jordan's take on it, on the Super Bowl and its place in the world, the largest single-day sporting event run by the powers that be, and it's played in an arena like the Colosseum of ancient Roman times. What's Jordan's take? Jordan, that's a really good question. And you've got to imagine the powers that be, they're not going to waste the opportunity when they've got 1/7 of the planet's population all in the same place at the same time. What do you think? Super Bowl.
Well, first of all, I would say that if you can think about it, I've thought about this. How many games are there in the world for people to play, to take part in, that does not include the use of a ball?
Yeah.
How many games around the world are played by peoples all over the world that does not include a ball?
None, I would say.
The tennis ball and ping pong ball and kickball and
soccer rugby,
ball,
everything,
and football,
yeah,
and baseball and bowling ball and
billiards,
golf,
snooker,
ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so my point being is that animals, dogs and cats love balls. The animals, even your domesticated animals and pets, they love to play with a ball. Cats will play with a ball all day long. And you know, we even have elephants kicking balls all day long. So animals love to play with balls. It's entertaining. And so since we are being viewed by the guys who run the planet, we humans are being viewed as animals. So they give us just a ball to play with. They don't care. Just throw a ball out there and let the kids go play. And that keeps them. And so when I was growing up as a kid, that was my parents' favorite routine when they were having guests over. When my family was having guests over, they didn't want the children sitting around listening to what the adults are talking about. So they would tell us always, instead of saying get lost, the word was go out and play ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
right.
Today we still say that in the adult world, when you're working for a corporation or a company, the corporation wants you to play ball. You're on a team. And so you're on the team, yeah, well, then you're going to play ball. And so I've never been on a team, and I don't play ball. But I understand the mentality that says just go out and give the humans a ball. They'll go play with it. They'll have golf balls and tennis balls and ping pong balls. Just give them a ball, and they'll go play with it. So I don't have 1 minute's worth of interest in sports, period, at all. I never have cared with sports. I want nothing to do with it. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time. But that's just my opinion.
It's bread and circuses, Jordan, right? It's there,
that's
too.
All it is. It's
that's
all
it
is.
It is.
It's always played in a big arena, like in the Roman time, in the Romans and the ancient Greeks. They had their games of people running around kicking balls, throwing balls, catching balls,
yeah,
jumping balls. And so I don't care about sports. And I know that there's no doubt in my mind from what I have already seen of life, these big games are financed by underworld organizations, secret societies that sit on billions of dollars that you don't even know they exist. And they provide the money and the accoutrements for big games to be played. Why? Because they're making billions off of it. They're making all kinds of money off of the working class poor who just want to be entertained by watching a game, But the mob and the underworld operations, what we call, you know, what we call the Illuminati, the masters of this world, they don't give a damn about sports. They're giving the sports to the people to keep them occupied,
keep them quiet,
and make them a lot of money off of.
Do you know what we're seeing, Jordan? Do you know what we're seeing here? I know it's very different in the United States because you've got different gambling laws. But in the last 10 years, what we've seen here increasingly is when live sport is televised, which is all the time, we've got as many sports channels on this side of the pond as you have. And they're showing never-ending live sports. And in the commercial breaks are filled with ads for gambling companies. Because we've got, as you know, it's not like that in America. But here on Main Street, we've got bookmaker shops, legal bookmaker shops, and they're everywhere. There are hundreds and hundreds of them in cities, towns, in all the cities and towns. So what you're getting increasingly is these gaming ads, these gambling ads, and they're being targeted at children. And you talked there about the working poor and the poor being served up sports as entertainment. Increasingly now, sports is being used to part, to part people from their money, effectively, to make them even poorer using gambling. And it's very sinister.
Well, we do the same thing in the States, but we call it the lottery.
The lottery, yeah.
Yeah, we call it the lottery. And so the lottery is that you pick a bunch of numbers, and if those numbers match the ones that are chosen, then you make a lot of money. And so, but the lottery, most people, like the sports in the UK, the lottery is run by the mafia. The underworld operation today in America is running the lotteries. And so, because if you go back to encyclopedias and dictionaries and go back to the reference books on your country, you will see that in America, what we call the lottery used to be called back in the 20s and 30s with Al Capone and all of the big mobsters out of Chicago and New York and the syndicates out of California. It was referred to as the numbers game. And so the numbers, Al Capone made millions running what was called the numbers.
The numbers, yeah.
Yeah, the numbers game. And so it was a mafia underworld operation to out there on the streets that the mob would collect, $100,000 in 1 week. And the payoff was going to be $1,000. And so to the ordinary person in the street, $1,000 is like a million. And so everybody was putting in a little bit of money, hoping to get the $1,000 prize. But the only prize was the $500,000 the mafia was
making. They collected.
That's the real prize.
Yeah, yeah.
And so today we call it government and we call it lottery. And when the lottery was sold to the people of California when I was there, as this is a way to raise money for the children and for the crippled children and for the schools, et cetera, all of these wonderful things for working mothers, as the state was going to make so much money make a lot of money so they could pay for housing for the poor and all kinds of wonderful things. What happened is the mafia made billions and the poor people made zero. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it is now. And that's the way it will always be.
And the big corporations, Jordan.
Business.
It's just business. And the big corporations, of course, saw what the mafia had done and decided to take it from them. It's like with Vegas. You know, there's a wonderful scene at the end of Martin Scorsese's film Casino, where De Niro and Pesci, all the gangsters are gone, and he says now Vegas is run by multinational corporations. They took lessons from the mafia, didn't they? But you're making a brilliant analogy. The world is run by gangsters that learned how to operate from gangsters.
Period. End of sentence.
There's
no discussion about that. Yeah. All you got to do is look around, wake up and look around. Even something as powerful and as stable as the United States federal government, it is filled to the brim with underworld murder, violence, people being found dead with their throats cut, and we're told every day in America some important political figure committed suicide. He shot himself in the head 3 times. And so this is America. This is the way the world is today. It's a criminal syndicate on the earth, period. Everywhere you look in all the other countries of the world, it's criminality, graft, corruption, murder, violence. And so I'm just amazed at how many people just look the other way. They don't see it. They don't want to see it. They just want to. They just want their games and think everything is just fine. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, when I hear people talking about these drug cartels and how these in Central and South America, the drug cartels are making billions off of their narcotics sales around the world. I mean, it's an international world operation, you know, with the French connection, the Russian mafia, all kinds of underworld organizations around the world are just sucking the life and the blood and the money out of the human race and feeding the human family on the earth, nothing but drugs. But what you don't realize when you hear about all the money that these underworld organizations are making, they're making that kind of money because the people of America are buying the drugs. That's what they forget to tell you. The reason why these drug lords are making so much money is because we Americans love drugs. We're on drugs. I mean, we have to take drugs. Obviously, we have to have drugs in America because the life in America is so absolutely loony and mentally deranged that the kids today are just giving up and going to drugs. And so I see the where the world has come from,
That's
where
a brilliant
it is
point.
Now, and I'm not stupid to not know where it is heading, because when you get a whole nation, ultimately the whole earth, hooked on drugs, alcohol, war, violence, etc., it does not bode well for the destiny of the human race. It doesn't look very good. And so now individuals are fighting for their lives to stay alive and to live a decent and intelligent life.
This is very interesting, this path you're going down now. I want to ask you a question about the moon, because I don't want to ignore the listener who sent me this question in a minute. It's a fairly general question about the moon. But you're going down a very important road now. It's something that we try and explore on the programme from time to time. A lovely lady got in touch with the programme the other day. I should have written her name down. I could probably find it, but I don't want to waste time looking for it. But she got in touch with the programme to say that she's had difficulty with panic attacks. And you're talking about something incredible there, medicating people. Panic attacks and stress and depression are, to paraphrase, you know, a great phrase, they are a perfectly rational response to a lunatic world. Panic attacks are, perfectly rational. But what the system says is, right, we've made things so absolutely crazy with the murder incorporated you talked about, the death, the destruction, the bloodshed, the lunacy. We've made it like that. Your response to it being feeling unwell, feeling panicky, is perfectly rational. Now here's some antipsychotic drugs that we've designed. It's completely and utterly mad. So you have a kind of a circle then that's impossible to break. It's like a chain. You know, we'll create the lunacy. We'll make you feel like this. The way you feel is actually quite rational. If you stop and think about it, and if you talk about it, you probably don't need to medicate. But here's the medication anyway. It's madness. It is madness, Jordan. You're describing madness.
Yeah, I know it is. Absolutely. And that's why so many young people around the world, in different countries of the world, especially in the States and in Europe, young people are turning to drugs and alcohol and sex and whatever. Why? Because they are bored to tears. And I understand that, because at 77, I am bored to tears with the world I live in. It has no vision, no mentality. It has no purpose. It is just a boring, useless life. And so that's why, as a small kid, I was already fascinated with the occult world, all kinds of knowledge that people knew nothing about. And so I just devoted my whole life to uncovering all of the strangeness on the earth today. And my God, once you wake up and find out how strange the world really is and begin to see how the world really works, then you lose boredom quickly and become fascinated with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And so I understand the problems that young people and people in general are facing today because they have no knowledge. They have been robbed of their ability to understand things, to understand words and terms and the concepts by which we live. And so today, generally speaking, around the earth, people are just bored. They're tired of the same old stuff every day because they know there must be something in life that's really important, but they have no idea what it would be. It's so very simple as knowledge.
And
knowledge,
the system, Jordan, power. The system is putting all these barriers in the way. So you have the chemical spraying in the air. You have the mobile phones, the cell phones, you have the tablets.
Yep.
The system is putting all of these barriers in the way of younger folk or even older folk kind of getting to grips with what's going on or at least trying to find out what's going on. I just want to, it's half past the hour. We've got Jordan for another 15 minutes, just about 15 minutes, and there's loads of comments have come in on this. Massive interest in this, as there always is. On Twitter, tweet to at Richie Allen Show. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Just going back to that, because more and more people have been tweeting about the Super Bowl, and they agree with everything you said about it. But Stevie G, who's in Belfast in Northern Ireland, said that, you know, he'd like to hear Jordan's view about occult black magic symbolism being used in events like the Super Bowl and how celebrity slaves are used as conduits for this. You know, the Super Bowl is a halftime show. A big musical star will do a routine, and the routine is the big musical singer, Justin Timberlake, it was last night. Loads of dancers, and they're all wearing these demonic type costumes, Jordan, and demonic symbology on the big screens. And it's like we were saying, the system wouldn't miss the chance with over a billion people watching. It's not going to pass up that chance, right?
No, to blast us with imagery. Organized crime runs the world, period. It's all well organized, well financed. It's been an organized criminal destiny for the human race going back 1,000 years. I mean, you have no idea in the world what was going on 1,000 years ago in Europe. It was horrible. But it was all organized power, armed forces, murder, violence, oppression, suppression. And so today we finally come out with a world today that's filled with organized crime. And it's very perfected. It knows exactly what it's doing and how things work. And so now it's time for individuals to withdraw from the world of the lunacy and withdraw and start to educate yourself. And that's why that's what I've been trying to do at my website, JordanMaxwellShow.com. I have a research website on there that people could go to and join the research society. A website on my website called Jordan Maxwell Show, and my webmaster is putting up all kinds of dark information on the world that we live in. You can go on my website and join. And again, it's called the Jordan Maxwell Research website. Go on my website and join. But there's one other thing I'd like to say in the few minutes we have left, Richie, and that is the word. There is a term which goes all over the world, but nobody seems to know what it means. And that term is the kingdom of God. All the people, the religious people, talk about the kingdom of God. and God's great kingdom to come, and then we're supposed to pray as Christians for God the Father, and ask for his kingdom to come and his will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom of God? Well, once you find out what the kingdom of God is, when you start listening to and start studying the ancient sciences, like Santos Bonacci was been telling us about for years, and Michael Tesserion, and all the other great minds that are out there trying to educate the human race, you then begin to slowly but surely develop an understanding of what the kingdom of God is. And if you're interested, I'll tell you what it is. If you go back and look at the words we use for life forms in this world, birds, we say, are in flocks. Fish are in schools. Cattle are in herds. People are in crowds. Bees are in hives. And flies are in swarms, and owls are in parliaments. So we humans give terms to the collective life form. So ants are in colonies. So we always have terms when you are collecting a certain kinds of life forms together. We say that they are in a school or herds or whatever. Well, what kind of life forms on the earth are in a kingdom? What kind of life forms on the earth is a kingdom?
Yeah.
The animal kingdom. Yeah. And what is a word that is used in relation to animals if it isn't zoo? Animals are in a zoo. And so the animal kingdom. So when you are you're praying to God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done. The kingdom is a kingdom of animals. And animals you will find in a zoo. So the idea of God's kingdom is a zoo, or what we call a zodiac, a zoo or a zodiac. The word zodiac comes from the word zoo, animals. So it's an animal kingdom that's out there in the heavens. And there are 12 major signs in the zodiac. And so the animal kingdom is the kingdom of God. So what you're doing, what the Bible is telling you to do, is you are praying to the divine presence of the universe, whatever that is out there, and you're saying, let thy kingdom come. What kingdom? The kingdom of animals in the zodiac or the zodiac. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on the earth. Well, that's very nice that you would like for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth, because it's going to come whether you like it or not. And when it gets here, it will exert its will on the earth, whether you like it or not. So it's good that you should accept it and ask for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done as it is in heaven. When you look up into the sky, you're looking up into heaven. So you're seeing the 12 animal kingdom. So the whole idea of the kingdom of God is the zodiac. Period. End of sentence. And so people today do not realize that the heavens divinely ordinate our life. It is divinely causing your life to be what it is and be where it's going to be and what's going to happen. And it will exert its force on the earth, and his will come on the earth, and his will be done on the earth. And you can know all about it if you just study the sacred sciences that Santos Bonacci talks about. All kinds of incredible researchers who have researched this whole idea of God in the kingdom. So if you think that the zodiac is something that the devil has, you have no idea in the world what's going on. And that's why we're in a particular time right now on the earth when God's kingdom, when the Bible says there's going to be a war breakout in heaven. There's a war in heaven in the book of Revelation. And there's going to be a new earth and a new heavens. The scripture actually says it will be a new heavens and a new earth after the war that broke out in heaven. What is the war? The war is between Pisces, to 2,150 years of Pisces, as opposed to the new kingdom that's coming, which is the age of Aquarius. And so, obviously, Pisces has been in power for 2,150 years. It doesn't want to go anywhere. Well, it's going to go whether it likes it or not, because Aquarius is coming in. So there's a war in heaven, and soon, when Aquarius is finally here, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, God's kingdom. The kingdom is in a zoo. It's called the Zodiac. It's about time people learn what's actually going on. And so when you study the sacred sciences that we call today religion, it's an incredible story of how we humans have been betrayed by religious leaders, by the corporations, and so many churches and religious organizations are run by the mafia. They are financed by the underworld. The oil companies, as I said last time, oil companies around the world are financing churches for their missions and for their going out to different countries to send out their missionaries. That cost a lot of money for churches. Well, the oil companies are contributing large sums of money to churches for their missionary movements. It's business. It's taking over different countries and getting the people to conform to your way of life, so eventually your oil companies and your corporations can move into these countries and take it over. We need to wake up and find out the world is not what you think it is. There's a whole world of knowledge out there you've never been given access to. So that's what I'm trying to do, is wake people up to find out the world is not what you think it is. And you better wake up now, because it's going to get worse in the future. Ignorance is all over the earth, and knowledge is power. So basically, that's what I'm trying to do. Educate people to look into dark corners they've never heard about before. They don't know anything about. So that's what I try and do, Richie. And that's why I'm delighted to always be on your show, because I think the show is sensational. The way you handle yourself in the show is brilliantly done. And I'm sure it's going to be a major impact on the world, because I hear so many people talking about your show.
Well, you're very kind. It's very kind of you to say that, Jordan. Well, you know, the show will always be a platform for learned men and women who've got something to say that they can't say on national television or commercial television. It's very kind of you to say those kind words, and I do take them on board, and thanks for saying that. But it's about the men and women who come on and what they have to say. It's an education for me every time. In the next couple of chats that we have over the next few months, let's talk, because Charlotte wanted to talk about the moon. We've run out of time, but let's talk about the celestial bodies. Let's talk about the planets maybe next time.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
How about that? And the time after that, I've been asked to get you to talk about the law and trust law and maritime law. Now, we did get into this about a year and a half ago, but there's no harm in revising that. So we might do the planets, and we might do the zodiac in more detail, and then we might do trust law and law after that. Folks, I can't...
There are so many things we can talk about.
Exactly, but it's a joy to do it. Look, folks, go to jordanmaxwellshow.com. Subscribe there for the wealth of knowledge in the archive that Jordan has talked about. There's also links there to the work that he's doing with Gaia. That's jordanmaxwellshow.com. That's the only legitimate website for Jordan Maxwell.
Yes.
The only one.
And I would say to everyone, join me. Join Gaia. Go on my website. It's only like $20 for a quarter of a year. It's just a small token payment that opens the world of over 8,000 documentaries on all kinds of subjects that are all highly professionally, intelligently presented by all the best writers and authors in the world. And that's why I'm delighted to be able to do my work now on Gaia. And you'll be seeing all of my work soon. All my new things coming out that I'm doing is all going to be on Gaia. That's where I'm concentrating my work now. And so go on my website to Jordan Maxwell Show.
JordanMaxwellShow.com, yeah. It's JordanMaxwellShow.com. Bookmark the website. It's updated all the time with interesting information and vital information that is being kept hidden from you. There's no doubt about that. Big shout out to Andy and all the gang at FreestyleHomes.com. Thanks for their support of these conversations with Jordan. Jordan, it's always brilliant, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day there in Boulder. And I look forward to picking up this conversation again in a few weeks' time. Love having you on.
I'd love to. I always love being on your show. So anytime is fine with me. Just let me know and I'll be here.
Legend, Jordan. Thanks for that. The brilliant Jordan Maxwell, live from Boulder, Colorado, this Monday, February 5th, 2018. Top man. We'll do this again in a few weeks' time. Again, big shout out to Andy and FreestyleHomes.com. Better take a quick break. Back with some comments and some more comments in a minute. Back in a minute. What have I done there? I think I screwed up. That's what I did. Right, let's do it. Back in a minute. What's happening there? Oh yeah.
Is your mind full of ideas, yet you struggle to put them down on paper? Characters with no home, unfinished concepts that you always wanted to finalise, yet lacked knowledge and drive to complete? The Creative Writing Course from Creative Imaginings may be the long-awaited answer. Designed to help you finish your masterpiece with better language techniques, detailed study of the character, plotted suspense chain, and valuable information to get published. Don't delay your creation. Complete your 100% online course at creativeimaginings.com.au.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Introducing the H2O app, a powerful water structuring application that programs vibrational energies into water through the use of different sound frequencies. Once programmed, the use of water for drinking, cooking, bathing. Give it to your friends and colleagues or spread it around the garden. The list goes on. It's not just water that the app can be used for either. It's great for programming crystals too. The H2O app is free to download and is available on both Android and Apple platforms. For further information, go to h2oapp.online.
Asking the questions mainstream journalists will never ask. This is your Richie Allen Show on richieallen.co.uk, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, and triggerwarning.tv. The Richie Allen Show relies on your support. Go to richieallen.co.uk and set up a monthly donation today.
Only if you can, and if you can't, don't worry about it at all. It's 12 minutes to the top of the hour. Great to have Jordan on the programme. Thanks for all the questions that came in there, and thanks for understanding that you just can't get through them all because you'd just be interrupting him all the time and asking questions, and obviously questions require detailed answers. But he'll be back very early in March, where we're going to talk about the celestial bodies, the planets and the satellites attached to those planets, like the moons, and Jordan's interest in those. And the next time we get him on then in April, we'll talk about law, trust law, maritime law, all that sort of stuff as well. Right, it's really good. Really like that. Hey, the prayer experiments. There was a number of prayer experiments done over the years, and they had some interesting results. The most recent one, if I remember rightly, now I really am speaking off the top of my head, and when I do that, I am prone to being wrong. But one of the Ivy League universities did one back in the late noughties, 2008, 2009. Either Yale University or Harvard did one. And if I remember rightly, they came back with a negative result. They came back and said that the prayer didn't do any good for anybody. And if memory serves, whether this was Yale or Harvard, their prayer experiment found that those who were prayed for, in fact, endured or experienced problems, complications, for want of a better word, right? So I can't remember whether that was Yale or Harvard, but anyway. But, again, I'm searching the caverns of my brain. There was, experiments were done by other academic bodies that did return what appeared to be positive results. And I'm interested in those. It's not that I dismiss the Yale or the Harvard study, but I really do believe that thoughts are physical things. And that when you think about somebody you love and you think of them and you're thinking very strongly about how you want the best for them, I'm absolutely convinced that it has a positive effect of sorts. And I have talked way back on other programmes that I made over the years about the power of positive thoughts. And, you know, I saw that film, The Secret, based on the book The Secret. Now, I know a lot of people who listen to programmes like this, they will say that The Secret was just basically ham and eggs. It just scratched the surface of the power of attraction and stuff like that. But, and that might be true. But when I watched it, it did occur to me that over the years I'd been subconsciously, naturally, kind of ordering things in my life through the power of thought. I'm not going to use terms like cosmic ordering. I think Noel Edmonds was a very interesting man. I have a lot of time for Noel Edmonds. He coined the phrase, or maybe he didn't coin the phrase, but he used the phrase cosmic ordering. And I have a lot of time for that. You know, there were things that I wanted to have in my life as a young man or as a teenager. And they weren't material, narcissistic, negative things. They were just things that I would like to experience. And they were very specific. So this isn't kind of vague stuff. They were very specific things. You know, like living in Spain and being involved in a bar in Spain and stuff like that. I used to think about stuff like that. And then do nothing to make that happen, physically not do anything. You know, I used to think when I was younger how I wanted to be on the radio. Radio was very important to me when I was a young boy, and I had a very difficult time as a young boy, and I used to listen to late night radio, and I used to think I'd love to be doing that job, not because I wanted to be well known or for any negative reasons. And again, circumstances conspired later on in life, a series of happenstances or coincidences led to me being on the radio and late night radio. These are not, you know, vague things. These are specific things. So I have a lot of time for the power of positive thought, and thoughts being physical things. You know, David Stanford has come back on to me to say, I'm right on the directed conscious experiment. It was found those who were prayed for recovered better. That's right, David. You'll have to help me out with which experiment it was, because there were several of them. And again, just for balance, the Yale or Harvard experiment in 2008 or 2009, whichever year it was, returned results that said it had no effect. In fact, it had a negative effect. But I was a bit dubious about that, right? And not because I don't dismiss things just because they contradict what I believe. If something contradicts that which I believe, I'm more inclined to look into it. And then if I change my mind, I'm happy to change my mind. Well, fair enough. Found some evidence that showed me that the way I was thinking was inaccurate. But anyway, so yeah. No, I believe it. I absolutely believe that we have because we aren't the physical beings that we think we are, we have the ability to order the world around us. That's why I interjected when Jordan was talking about having faith and people going to churches to have faith and just wait for things to happen for them, maybe as opposed to making things happen. I think you can make things happen. You know, I think you can. 6 minutes to the top of the hour. Got some good guests. Don't we always, he says, boastfully. But we do. We've always got good guests. Jeff Berwick, the dollar vigilante, top man. He's not been on for ages. It's been nearly a year since Jeff was on. Bitcoin is in the news a lot, obviously. It's depreciating in value. It's declining in value. We'll talk with Jeff tomorrow about Bitcoin and about other things as well. Donald Trump, fiscal matters in the US and over here. Really like Jeff, top man. And Paul Craig Roberts joins us on Wednesday. We love Paul. Follow the programme these days on richieallen.co.uk. I'm not going to keep saying this over and over and over again, but the social media giants are limiting not just our reach. It's not just us. We're small fry, but everybody's reach. We have a website now. It's lovely. I'm delighted with it. I'm so proud of it. Hayden did a great job on it. So go to richieallen.co.uk. We'll try and put some thought-provoking articles up there at least every day. You know, maybe two a day, but at least one every day. I'll do my best to do that. Don't wait for something to appear in your Twitter or Facebook feed because it won't. Go to richieallen.co.uk. Keep that in mind. I wonder what's going on with the Richie Allen Show. Forget Facebook. Go to the website. Alrighty. So Jeff Berwick on tomorrow. I am hoping to speak to a woman tomorrow who has taken her children out of school and is doing really well with homeschooling. She's been in the news recently. She did say to me last week that she couldn't make it last week, but that she would come on this week. I've asked her to come on tomorrow. I'm hoping she'll do that. I'm very interested in that as well. Again, I will be posting details about the lineup for the show on the website as opposed to Facebook from now on, because Facebook is useless. It is useless. We told you that Facebook story in a monologue. Facebook is there to program minds, to alter minds, to connect minds to the cloud, to the system, as we saw with this messenger story for children. It's not helping share and spread information around. It's impeding it. Get your own website if you are a content creator. richieallen.co.uk, that's the website. That's where you need to go. Big shout to Simon for looking after the YouTube videos. Thank you, Simon. And to my pal, Jean Ann, who's in Dublin this week as well. We're going to leave you with some, I don't know what we're leaving you. I think it's some Drake. It is Drake. That's it. I'll be back with you tomorrow, Tuesday at 7 p.m. UK time. Until then, thanks for listening. Look after yourselves and one another. And take it easy. Thanks to Jordan. JordanMaxwell.show. JordanMaxwellShow.com is his website. See you tomorrow.